Say hello.
Hi, Winston.
Hello.
Hello.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Amazing.
Great, great, great.
So great.
This is Every Single Saint. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Every Single Saint, the podcast where we are going chronologically from the beginning to today, every single saint in Christian history. We are through the 30s AD. I believe all the saints, we're definitely through the 20s and we're somewhere in the 30s AD. So we've made it a few decades. We have just under 2,000 more years to go. And today I have with me my wonderful, beautiful wife. She's going to be sharing some saint stories as well. And she's going to listen to me tell some stories. Say hello.
Hi, Winston.
Hello.
Hello.
She's very encouraging and inspiring. I have a lot of fun doing this because she has a lot of fun doing it with me and watching me do it. She's going to be a part of it a lot. I'm really thankful for her encouragement. And she just makes everything so much fun.
You know, I love hearing others' testimonies and sharing my own testimony. And here, when we're sharing the lives of the brothers and sisters who have gone before us that are fully alive in Christ in heaven, we're doing exactly that. We're sharing testimonies. Paul said it best in Hebrews. He exhorted all Christians to remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider their outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Amazing. So what are you drinking today? Let's tell our listeners what we're having here.
I am drinking tea. I can't remember what all kind it was. Chamomile, honey, something tea. What are you drinking?
I'm having some English breakfast tea. Good decaf. It's hot.
It'd be tea. Okay. I'm going to be doing the first saint today. And that saint is... his name is Pancras. Every time I read it, it sounded like Pancreas, but his name is not Pancreas. It is Pancras, or it could be Pancras, Pancras, P-A-N-C-R-A-S. And we don't know a ton about him, so this will be short. He was an Italian saint, and his entire life is fairly legend. The info that we have on him is only found in martyrologies, which is not something I've mentioned yet on the podcast, is a martyrology. But a martyrology is it's essentially a history book specifically to track and keep record of martyrs in Christian history. And the church started doing this very, very early on. So early Christian lists of martyrs are the first martyrologies. And this is where we get Saint Pancras, who was born in Antioch. And at some point, he was traveling with his parents to Jerusalem. And this was during Jesus's ministry. And we don't know if they met Jesus, but they learned of Jesus and heard that he was doing his thing. And then I think maybe they were just on travels. Sometime after the ascension, when they were back in Antioch, they met with Peter and Peter baptized them. So that's really cool. So after they were baptized, Peter chose Pancras to become a bishop at a church they were going to plant. You know, in the early church, that's all they were doing was planting churches. And he sent him to Sicily, the island.
Whoa.
The one that the boot is kicking. So he was born in Antioch, which is today Turkey, but maybe because he died in Sicily, which is Italy, right? It's not his own country.
No.
So in the year 40, he went to Sicily to a town called Taor to start a church. And he did. However, the pagans on the island did not like the church, and they eventually found him and stoned him. And that's all we know of Pancras. He was the bishop in the church on the island of Sicily. He died in 40 AD. And he's only the patron saint of that town, Tariminium. And his feast day is July 8th. And that's all we know. So I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this story of an not well known, but his strength and his passion for you is now well known amongst the two of us and whoever listens to this. And we ask that as Pancras surely had a lot of strength and passion for you, you guide us and help us to grow in our strength and in our passion for you as well. In your name we pray, amen. St. Pancras, pray for us. Okay.
All right. So now
you're going to do your very first
one. My very first saint who I love learning about, St. Barnabas.
Barnabas.
I'm going to tell you his story.
Oh, Barney.
Oh, yes. St. Barnabas, he's an apostle of the apostles, a missionary. And did you know he's responsible for welcoming St. Paul into the church?
He's responsible?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Aside from the 12, few others receive the designation of apostle in the New Testament. The chief among them, St. Paul, but so is Barnabas. So after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, when the scales fall from his eyes and he's baptized, Acts 9 tells us he immediately went to Jerusalem and tried to join the disciples. This makes me so sad, but scripture tells us they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then,
I mean, can you blame him? At first?
It's true. They're probably pretty freaked out. But then it says, Barnabas took charge of him, brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how on the way Paul had seen the Lord, how he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. And then Paul was able to move freely with them in Jerusalem and continue to speak boldly in the name of the Lord. So thank you, Barnabas, for...
Thank you, Barnabas.
Oh, for doing that, because great, what a great gift that St. Paul is to the church. But rightly so, St. Barnabas's name means son of encouragement. Acts 11 describes him as a good man filled with the Holy Spirit and of faith.
Barnabas the Encourager is how I've always known him.
Yes, that's him. So some fun facts. Barnabas was one of the 72 disciples that Jesus actually sent out on mission in Luke 10 to proclaim the good news. This is when Jesus says he appointed the 72. He sent them ahead in pairs to every town, saying the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So that's something that Barnabas was actually a part of. Barnabas was at Paul's side to evangelize the Gentiles and the Jews. He came from the priestly Levite tribe and was a native of Cyprus. He first emerged as one of the early Christians who sold a tract of land and placed the prophets at the feet of the disciples, which we see in Acts 4. So that reflects a deep detachment, total commitment to the gospel and the imitation of Christ's own life, and shows us a priestly example, a call to the simplicity of life. You might remember, Winston, that in Acts 15, there was a disagreement that sparked. Do you know which one it was?
Disagreement in Acts 15 over Gentiles and circumcision?
Yes, over the controversy of circumcision.
The Council of Jerusalem?
It led to one of the earliest councils, that's right, of Jerusalem. And Barnabas participated in that with Peter and Paul. So in that council, we know that the church decided, hey, Gentile converts to Christianity, they're not obligated to observe the Mosaic law of the Jews, like the dietary laws or the rule about circumcision.
I would think for the adult Gentiles, it was a pretty big decision.
Definitely. It definitely was. And it caused a lot of animosity, surprisingly. But Barnabas, he fought for unity. He kept sacred what Christ has given to us. Truth that salvation is purely gratuitous. It's a free gift. It's never earned, and we are living as new creations in Christ. So a fun fact as well is that John Mark in Colossians, who we know is the gospel writer Mark. John Mark is Mark. That's actually Barnabas's cousin.
Cousins.
But one time,
this shout out cousins.
Spicy. Paul doesn't want Mark to accompany him and Barnabas on future missions. We don't know why, but it's in Acts. Maybe the council was just too heated or something. I don't know, but later they reconciled. So the best of friends can even have some differences, wouldn't you say?
Paul and Barnabas were going to go on a mission and Paul said Mark can't go.
That's right. It's in scripture. It's kind of weird, but hey, we're all human and the beauty of the church prevailed because they sought unity, and the Holy Spirit has always guarded, defended Christ's true, holy, Catholic, apostolic church. even in the most heated of times, you might say. So thank you, Barnabas, for always fighting for unity. He always embraced John the Baptist's words, he must increase and I must decrease. One last thing was that as the Christian community developed in Antioch, that's where Acts tells us that the believers were first called Christians, Barnabas was sent to them as the official representative of the Church of Jerusalem to incorporate them into the fold. So again, a model for unity, a model for all those in ministry as an example of servant leadership. He's the patron saint of Cyprus because he was the first missionary to that island. And his feast day is June 11th.
June 11th, Cyprus.
So let's pray. Barnabas, Lord, we thank you for this great example that we have in Barnabas, that he walked with his feet on the ground and his heart in heaven. For this example, Lord, we thank you. Help us to stay true to you and to you alone, because apart from you, we can truly do nothing. Help us to grow in our detachment and our generosity for the sake of the gospel, to speak boldly our testimony in Christ, and to open our hearts to a greater availability to you and to the mission that you've given us. Amen, Lord. St. Barnabas, pray for us.
Okay, thank you, Barnabas. Now, I'm going to do a saint by the name, I keep getting ones I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce. Stachys, I think is how it's pronounced. I looked it up. It's probably Stachys. S-T-A-C-H-Y-S. It's not Stachys or Stachys, but Stachys. Stachys. He was also an apostle, one of the ones that was one of the 72, you said? 72?
Yeah.
70? So I'm not entirely sure what qualifies as an apostle. I'm not sure if you do, but someone who knew the original 12 and worked with the original 12, maybe. Not entirely sure. Stachys is mentioned in scripture only one time, and that is in Romans 16:9. At the end of Romans, Paul is saying, greetings to, and naming all these people and just saying, hey, what's up to all these people? And in Romans 16:9, he says, greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. So he was beloved with Paul. That we know that much. Another thing that we know that is interesting is St. Andrew, one of the 12, he founded the church in Byzantium. And he founded that church in the year 38. And Andrew was the first bishop of Byzantium in the church. But then he pretty immediately passed on the bishopship to Stachys. And Stachys held that until the year 54. So he was bishop for a while, 16 years he was bishop. And the bishop who succeeded Stachys, his name is Onesimus, who is also mentioned in like Philemon, however you pronounce Philemon, and in a couple places in scripture, another small New Testament person. So we're not really sure where he was born. He died in 54. We know this. When he died, someone else became bishop. His feast day is October 31st. Interesting. All Hallows Eve day. He's also not the patron saint of anything. So I will say he's the patron saint of, let's say, bishops. So yeah. Now I'm going to pray. Lord, I want to lift up all bishops and all clergy and all churches, and just have your Holy Spirit around them and continue to grow them in their faith as leaders of us. And I pray that you help us help our clergy, and in all of our churches, let the lay people like us do everything we can to help those leaders in our churches. In your name we pray, amen. Saint Stachys, pray for us. Okay.
St. Pudin.
You you get to do your second Pudens.
You know that Pudens is the hottest disciple?
Pudens is the hottest disciple?
Yeah. The name Pudens literally means modest, so Pudens is hottest.
Modest is hottest. The name Pudens means modest.
Yeah, I kind of hate that I made
How
that
do you
joke.
Spell Pudens again?
Pudens.
Maybe it's Pudens.
I'm just going to pronounce it Pudens. That's all right.
Pudens.
So, fun fact, I also realized that I have been to his tomb in Rome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. Okay, so St. Pudens, he was also one of the 70 that was sent on mission by Christ in Luke 10 to proclaim the good news. So that's great.
Great.
When they come back from their mission that Jesus sent them out on, they're exclaiming with joy that the demons were subject to them. But Jesus says, do not exclaim with joy about that. Exclaim instead that your names are written in heaven. And I love that because Pudens is known for his unwavering faith in the Lord. He was a Roman nobleman. He's mentioned in St. Paul's second epistle to Timothy when Paul says, make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Pudens.
Love that. I love that. Pudens was a father. He had two sons, Novatus, Timotheus, and two daughters, Praxedes and Pudentiana. Guess what? They're all recognized as saints. All four children of Pudens.
Nice.
So we'll get to them at some point. Pretty cool lives that they lived. As a close friend of St. Peter, St. Pudens was also a personal acquaintance of St. Paul, as we know from that scripture verse. And he received the apostles in his home where all the Christians were gathering, you know, and worshiping at that time. They all gathered in homes. And his house was actually converted into a church, which they gave the name Pastorum. So according to tradition, the holy apostle Peter himself served in that home of Pudens as a priest and celebrated the sacraments, they celebrated Mass. Around 145 AD, Pope Pius I had a small oratory church built over the remains of Pudens' house. So some of the walls still remain today, and this qualifies what they call today Santa Pudenciana for the honor of being the oldest Christian church in Rome.
Whoa.
Which I think is pretty cool.
When I saw Pudens' name, I thought he might be a short nobody, but Pudens was something.
That's what I was thinking too.
Pudens.
He really is.
He's so modest.
He's so modest. We had no idea. So despite persecution of Christians by the Roman Empire, Pudens refused to renounce his faith. He continued to practice his religion openly and was eventually arrested, brought before Emperor Nero, who was emperor at the time, endured cruel torture and suffering, and he died a martyr. Thank you, Pudens, for your witness to the faith. Being a martyr literally means that you are a witness. So, despite the pain and hardship, he never wavered. He was an inspiration to other Christians at the time who were being persecuted. And after his death, they interred his remains in the catacombs of Rome. And his memory has been cherished by the community ever since. And over time, his tomb became a place of pilgrimage. Many miracles have been reported to have happened there. And that's where I have been before when I went to Rome. So
nice.
Thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God for Pudens' life. His feast day is April 14th in the Eastern Orthodox Church calendar, but April 19th, according to the Roman Church. And I couldn't find his patronage, which I was bummed about because Pudens, you know, he's so awesome.
Dead.
But he's so modest, so he doesn't have any patrons.
That's right, he's so
modest. In my mind, though, he's the patron saint of fathers, of churches, and the suffering church on earth. And I will pray, dear Lord, we pray that, like St. Pudens, we would be so devoted to you and to your church that we never waver in love for you. Even in our suffering and in small trials, please give us the grace to remember your presence, to have courage, and to boldly proclaim your love and your truth to all people. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. St. Pudens, pray for us.
Okay, great, great, great. Now we're going to do James the Great.
So great.
James the Great is one of the sons of thunder. That's right. Well, he is one of the 12. He's the brother of John. He's the son of Zebedee. It is possible, I learned, that his mother Salome is the Salome that is the sister of Mary, which could make James and John first cousins with Jesus. I saw that this was a potential theory that we can never know the answer to, but it might make sense why James and John are always acting as if they deserve special treatment as one of the 12 and always saying, are we the greatest, and making the other disciples annoyed. But he is one of the first disciples called by Jesus. He and his brother John were fishing with Zebedee when they were called. James, John, and Peter almost formed like an informal inner three circle, because they were there. Those were the only three there three different times in the Gospels. Can you name the three times?
Oh, okay. Number one, Transfiguration.
That's number one.
And my mind, you put me on the spot here. I don't know.
Okay, the other one, the Transfiguration is one. Another one is when he raises Jairus's daughter.
Right.
They go to the house. He says, don't tell anyone I've done this. Mm. And the third was the agony in the garden.
Oh, of course.
In Acts 12, verse 2, it says that King Herod, this Herod was Agrippa. We've talked a lot about a number of different Herods. None of them were great. King Herod Agrippa had James killed. Acts 12, verse 2, about the time King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged in the church, he had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. There's also a theory that this could have been due to James's temper. He and John were nicknamed Sons of Thunder for their temper. I always thought, especially after watching The Chosen and connecting a lot with the 12, that this one small, short verse of James being killed feels too small, because to us, he went out as a hero. You can actually go to the site of the martyrdom. It's located in Jerusalem, Cathedral of St. James. There's a chapel of St. James the Great located there also. And in the chapel is the traditional place, the exact place where he was martyred. And it's also said that his head is still buried under that chapel. Supposedly, after he was martyred, his body was brought to Spain. So I learned this. It was said that during the ministry, when they were spread out planting churches, James the Great went to Hispania near that time, and at some point made his way back and stirred up trouble with Herod Agrippa. But it said that his followers, friends, took his body back to Spain after his martyrdom. So technically, he was the second of the 12 to die. The first of the 12 to die was
Peter.
No, this is
Judas. Gosh.
And James was after the first of the, okay. He was the first of the 12 to be martyred. He was born in Bethesda. He died in 44 AD. His feast day is July 25th. He's the patron saint of a number of different professions. So if one of these things is your profession, and I mentioned it, we are looking you up in prayer. First of all, veterinarians. He's the patron saint of veterinarians. He is the patron saint of equestrians.
Mm-hmm.
This one I'm going to say very carefully. He's the patron saint of furriers, which are the people who make furs, coats, and they make clothes out of the furs. tanners, patron saint of pharmacists, oyster fishers. So if you're out there fishing for oysters, praying for you. And lastly, wood carvers. Dear God, I pray that all of us listening to this become filled with the passion that we know that James the Great had for you. We are inspired by his ministry. We are inspired by how strong he was in the faith. And we want to become like him. We want to become like all the saints and especially all the martyrs who are witnesses of who Jesus is. And I lift up all the professions that we've named today and help us to continue to dive deeper and deeper into our faith with you as we learn more and more about these holy men and women. In your name we pray, amen. St. James the Great, pray for us. Do you want to do the exit? The outro?
Okay. Thank you so much for listening today.
The end.
So glad to be a guest of the podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Every Single Saint. You can also find us on every single platform where you listen to your podcasts.
That's right.
Spotify, Apple, what's the
Google?
Other one? Stitcher.
Stitcher.
All the things I haven't even heard of. We're there for you, praying for you every single day. And of course, patron saint of the podcast, Saint Nicholas, pray for us.